Steve escorted him all the way up to his office, where Pepper leapt to her feet with a squeak. Pepper had a totally unreasonable crush on Steve. Something about appreciating men who could remember a basic social obligation. Well, whatever. Tony was a genius. He was supposed to be forgetful. "Good afternoon, Miss Potts," said Steve, and Pepper practically cooed. "Captain, it's so nice to see you." Her eyes flickered to Tony, and she made a very strange face, as if she'd bitten into something revolting and was trying not to show it. "Hi, Pepper," said Tony. "I was just explaining that my cousin Tony left me in charge while he's away." "That's right." Pepper bared her teeth at him in what was probably a smile. There was a second's awkward silence, and then Tony lunged for the door to his office. "Well, I should..." Steve's ninja reflexes had the door open before Tony could get there, and he followed Tony in and shut the door behind him. Tony turned to face him and got the full blast of one of Steve's best smiles. So, said Steve, "it was really nice to meet you." "Yeah." Tony tried without success to think of something witty or original to say. "It was great. I really enjoyed lunch." Steve took a half step closer, right into Tony's space. And Tony was suddenly very aware of the couple inches of height he'd lost as Steve dipped his head to look into his eyes. "I'm glad, because I'd like to have dinner with you," Steve said, and Tony's eyes widened. "Are you free tonight?" "Yes," said Tony instantly, before his brain could step in and his heart sank. That was a really bad idea. Steve was talking again, and he nodded to everything. And then Steve curled his hand around Tony's for a second, squeezed his fingers, before he stepped back to let himself out. He listened to the sound of Pepper's giggle as she flirted Steve out the door, and then she burst in, almost running right into him. She frowned at him, and he looked back. Then she put a hand on his shoulder and pushed him back a few steps so he wasn't blocking the doorway. "Your cousin?" she said, letting him stop somewhere near the middle of the room. "Steve just asked me on a date." Pepper froze for a second, then took a deep breath, clearly preparing to scold furiously. "Please tell me you..." "It's Captain America," he bleated, and she put her fingertips to her temples and took another, deeper breath. "Be reasonable!" "What's your name?" she said from between gritted teeth. What? Had she developed spontaneous amnesia? It wasn't that bad. There was a faint grinding noise he thought might be her teeth. "What did you tell him?" "Morgan. Oh God, I need something to wear." "Morgan?" Pepper didn't quite shriek, and Tony threw up his hands to signal his complete surrender to Pepper's assessment of him as an idiot. "I was asleep when he turned up. I did the best I could."
"Were you asleep when he asked you out?"
"Pepper, you're not helping." "Why didn't you just tell him?"
"I have my dignity."
Pepper made a snorting noise that he was going to pretend was agreement and not laughter. "I don't want this getting out. The fewer people who know, the better." Pepper scowled, but apparently accepted that, which was good because "I need to cover for my secret identity" wasn't really going to fly.
"I'll get you clothes," she said. "And you are going to go out to dinner with a nice man and give him the brush off, aren't you?"
"Sure." Pepper was right, of course. It was the only sensible course of action.
She narrowed her eyes, and he smiled and nodded until she sighed and pulled out her PDA. "Now, this afternoon..." "I have a thing," Tony interrupted, and she tapped her stylus ominously on the screen. "A turning me back thing. Tests and such like. Reed needs to do more tests." That worked surprisingly well. Pepper was apparently almost as eager to get him changed back as he was. He took the elevator down to the lobby, then took another one back up to his workshop and put on the remodeled armor. It looked almost indistinguishable from the old armor. The breasts were squashed down, but not uncomfortably so, and the line of the chest plate was barely altered. The narrower torso couldn't be concealed entirely without interfering with the shoulder joints, but fortunately it wasn't a big change. The female Tony Stark was a tall, well-built woman, so no one would notice unless they were comparing directly. Seeing his barely altered metal form in the mirror was a relief, and a lift of tension he hadn't really been aware of. He was cautious in the air at first, but his weight distribution was only slightly altered, barely notable against the weight of the armor. By the time he reached the mansion, he was comfortable enough for some showing off, approaching from the rear of the building, in full view of the kitchen windows. He pulled a dramatic dive toward the lawn, and then braked and twisted and rolled into a striding walk up the garden path, neat as you please. Jarvis opened it for him, with a look clearly intended to show how unimpressed he was with aerobatics. Steve was, as expected, sitting at the kitchen table, and he'd no doubt been telling Jarvis, "Oh. Oops." "The captain was just telling me about the delightful lunch he had with Miss Stark," Jarvis said, in icily polite tones that reduced Tony to a 5-year-old. He tried a placatory grin, and then remembered Jarvis wouldn't be able to see it. In fact, Jarvis couldn't really blame Iron Man at all. He was just glaring because Tony wasn't there to be glared at.
Yes.
That didn't seem to help.
"She's a nice lady?" he offered.
"Lovely," said Jarvis, which at least meant he hadn't blown the whole thing out of the water.
"Isn't she?"
Steve was apparently oblivious to the undertones.
"And she's so interested in the team. We had such a great talk about it. I can't believe Tony never mentioned her before."
"It's a mystery," Jarvis said, and his scowl deepened. Tony backed towards the door.
"Well, really can't stop. You ready, Cap?"
Steve threw an arm around his neck as soon as they were through the door, and they bumped hips for a few steps until Tony carefully insinuated an arm under the shield slung on his back and secured a firm grip around his waist for takeoff. He hugged Steve, maybe a little too tightly, but he always did, and there was no way Steve could know it wasn't entirely necessary.
"Are you shorter?"
said Steve as the earth fell away from their feet, and Tony shrugged.
"Had an adjustment to the boot jets. Might be a bit shorter."
"Oh, right." Steve looked down at the dollhouse of the mansion, a smile spreading over his face. "So, let's fly." And Tony grinned inside his helmet.
"We are flying," he said in an innocent voice,
and Steve kicked him gently in the ankle.
"Ow, my joints, bully."
"Fly," Steve said again, laughing, and Tony carefully loosened his grip on Steve and spread his arms for balance as Steve ducked and scrambled around onto his back. "Okay," he said, arms locked around the base of the helmet, knees gripping Tony's waist.
"You sure? You're holding on?"
Tony shimmied, carefully getting used to the weight change. He wasn't about to risk dropping Steve, no matter his blithe assurance that he trusted Tony to catch him. No one should trust Tony that much. Of course, Steve didn't know it was Tony he was trusting with his life, but even so... "I'm sure." Steve petted him on the shoulder, and Tony folded in his arms and fell into a spinning dive. One of the disadvantages of the Iron Man suit was the lack of the opportunity to show off to a passenger. Even Rhodey was disinclined to go for Tony rides, and Tony had to admit he might have a point about its unsafeness. Steve, however, had a grip like steel, didn't suffer at all from motion sickness, and could tolerate an impressive amount of G-force. It had taken only a few seconds to program Steve's tolerances into the Iron Man system, and now he could indulge himself in aerobatics with the best of audiences. He took them uptown, towards the shiniest part of town, and pulled a series of sharp turns, jinking through a glassy maze of skyscrapers. Skimming so close to them, his proximity alarms went off. He buzzed past Stark Towers and waved to Rhodey, who wouldn't be able to rat him out to Pepper without giving away his secret. They spiraled up around the Empire State Building, a treat for the tourists. Tony's sensors picked up on the gasps as they passed the observation decks, and a couple of electronic shutter clicks. There would probably be pictures in the Bugle, but it certainly wasn't a rare enough sight to warrant the front page. He kept spiraling, gaining height, and Steve's grip loosened and he leaned back to peer down. They climbed and climbed, and Steve's breathing came harder and harder with the altitude. At 25,000 feet, he was panting, and Tony wouldn't have taken him any higher, though he estimated Steve could survive at up to 30,000. It was one limit he had no desire to push. They circled idly, Tony leveling out so Steve could let go and drape himself along Tony as casually as if he were a hammock. Quiet up here, only the distant sounds of the airplanes making it this far. Steve studied the city intently, leaning over Tony's shoulder. Tony could just see his face in his peripheral vision. He didn't know what Steve looked for when they did this. Finally, Steve sighed and knocked on his helmet. "Ready?" he said, and Tony nodded, feeling the thrill of spiking adrenaline as Steve rolled off him and fell like a rock. Tony cut his jets and followed, gnawing fear in his gut that he'd failed to catch him this time, that Steve would end up a puddle on Fifth Avenue. But he could see Steve's grin as he fell backwards towards the earth, staring up into the sky. Tony watched the city grow, checking his readouts again and again, and he fired the repulsors and swooped down on Steve, wrapping his arms around man and shield and sweeping them into a deep arc so that Steve was barely jolted as they shed velocity. They landed on a rooftop in eastern Manhattan, and Steve's legs wobbled as he let himself down. Tony put out a hand, and Steve leaned against his shoulder, smiling. "That was brilliant," he said. "Thanks."
"No problem."
Tony looked at him, his chest heaving with quick breaths, eyes heavy with pleasure. He remembered Steve's warm hand on his. Steve was taking him on a date tonight. He could probably snag a goodnight kiss. He patted Steve lightly on the arm and eased back, and Steve stepped away, shaking out his legs and bouncing on his toes. "What time are we meeting Giant Girl?" he asked.
"In about an hour. Let's play some catch."
"Catch?" Steve's brow furrowed, but his smile stayed, only turning quizzical.
"With the shield."
"Why?"
"This is Spider-Man's stomping ground. I'm not going to play tag around the skyscrapers with him. because even if I catch him, that seems not the way to recruit. We're going to have to lure him out with something shiny.
The shield?
No, you.
Tony laughed at his confused face.
There's a definite theme to Spider-Man's appearance at our fights. He comes out to watch you. I've seen him on the rooftop staring down at you with those big white eyes. And when he joins in, he's always dropping in next to you.
He does, Steve admitted. I just thought he figured I needed the help more.
I think he's a fanboy. I've tried hanging around down here, but he's never come out to meet me. I think he might for you. We just need to attract his attention.
Tony launched himself off the roof and spun to beckon to Cap.
Throw me the shield, and let's see if we can catch some attention.
Understanding came over Steve's face, and he whirled the shield into the air, and Tony caught it and hurled it even higher, the intense colors glowing in the sunlight. He deflected it down again, clumsily, and Steve took a running leap into midair. Tony had time for a graphic vision of Steve plummeting 6 floors to his doom before he landed neatly on the parapet of the next roof, poised as a gymnast, and put up a casual hand for the shield, spinning to absorb the impact and launching it back into the air. It flew past Tony at a ridiculous speed. He could almost swear it was accelerating, which would be in total violation of the laws of physics. He rose to meet it as it reached apogee and began to fall, and as he turned with it clasped in his hand, he caught another glimpse of blue and red. Spider-Man was swinging towards them, which was quicker than he'd expected. He must have spotted them playing around in the sky earlier. Tony tossed the shield from hand to hand and looked down at Steve, who was shading his eyes to look up at him. He jerked his head in the direction of Spider-Man, and Steve nodded. Whether he'd seen him already, or just took Tony's word for it, he couldn't tell. He threw the shield casually, and Steve made another heart-stopping leap, catching the shield in midair, and then actually swinging off a flagpole and flipping back up onto a windowsill, which had to be him showing off. As he landed, Spider-Man threw out a particularly long line and swung past slowly, positively rubbernecking at Steve, who turned casually, as if he wasn't 50 feet up on a narrow ledge of concrete, and gave him a cheery wave. Then he jumped up and caught the edge of the roof with one hand before kicking off the wall and flipping himself over onto the parapet. Spider-Man landed on the side of a building and craned his neck to stare back at Steve, who waved again. After a second, Spider-Man peeled a hand from the wall and waved back. Steve beckoned to him, and Spider-Man glanced around, as though he thought there might be someone more worthy of Cap's attention stuck to the building. Finding no one, he swung back, releasing his line and doing what Tony judged to be a completely unnecessary double somersault to land just in front of Steve. Then he just stared up at Steve's smiling face. Tony drifted closer and turned up his audio pickups. "Hi there," Steve said after a moment and held out his hand. "I guess there's not much point in introductions." "Oh," he took Steve's hand gingerly. "Yeah, hi." He looked to their clasped hands, then up at Steve's face. And then when Steve let go, he stared down at his hand. "Oh, wow," he said softly, and Tony could sympathize. That was how he'd felt when Cap, still wearing the rags of his uniform, bewildered by the newness of the world, had pulled himself together, plastered a shaky smile on his face, and held out his hand. "I wanted to thank you," said Steve, and Spider-Man looked up at him. "That house fire last week? I saw the web lines holding the walls,
Without you, it might have collapsed before I could get everyone out. Tony's eyebrows shot up. Steve hadn't said a word at the time, serenely assuring Iron Man everything was fine while he fretted outside, his metal suit too heavy to risk in the burning building. Spider-Man was sheepishly disclaiming his contributions, hand-waving depreciatingly, and Steve put a hand on his shoulder. "Son, you've got a bad reputation," he began, and Spider-Man sagged, twisting his fingers together. There was surely nothing worse than being disapproved of by Captain America. "But I've seen some of the work you've done, and I've heard stories from some of the people you've helped, and you seem to be a person who's doing the best he can to help people without asking for anything in return. And to me, that's the definition of a hero." "I..." Spider-Man tried to interrupt, but Steve steamrolled on. "We're putting together a team of heroes, and we'd like you to be one of them. You're a man I'd like to work with. What do you say?" "Yes," Spider-Man said fervently, and then shook his head. "I mean, I'd love to. I would, you don't know. But I can't." He ducked his head and shuffled his feet. Steve dropped his hand from his shoulder. "Why not?" Spider-Man's arms came up, wrapping around himself as if he were cold. "Well, I'm just..." He hesitated. "I'm not a big hero like you. I just..." "Spider-Man," said Steve gently. "Last time I saw you, you were doing exactly what I was doing. And together, we managed to save lives I don't think either of us could have alone." "Yeah," Spider-Man kicked at the roof. "But I have a really bad reputation, like you said. I wouldn't want to put that on anyone else." "I like good press," said Steve unruffled. "Who doesn't? But you know, I'm not going to steer clear of people because of a bad reputation, when I know that reputation's not true." He looked up at Tony. "Now, I don't let it stop me associating with Tony Stark, do I?" Spider-Man turned and looked up at him with those big, blank eyes. His body language was clear, though, doubt in the hunch of his shoulders, nervousness in the tension of his thighs. Tony settled the armor gently a few feet away from him, and Spider-Man cocked his head. "Hi."
"Hi there," said Tony. "Cap's right, you know. We'd like to have you on the team, and we're not afraid of a little bad press."
It was true enough. Tony had certainly had his share of it. He was more or less counting on Cap to acquire them favorable coverage. The media in general seemed almost as besotted with Steve as Tony was. It was probably the way he always looked pleased to see them. He had the delightful idea that television and newspapers existed to inform and edify the general public, and that journalists were champions of free speech. It was cute, really. "It's hardly a little," said Spider-Man, but something in his voice said he was wavering. Steve frowned. "What else?" Spider-Man shrugged. "My secret identity," he muttered. "I can't tell anyone." "You don't have to," said Steve instantly. "No, really. I don't even know Iron Man's secret identity." "Really?" Spider-Man looked back and forth between them. "I thought you guys were friends." "We are," said Steve. "Good friends. And it doesn't really bother me that I don't know his real name. I know who he is, and I like him, and I respect him. And that's what matters."
"You're making me blush."
It was true. Tony could feel the pleased embarrassment heating his skin.
"But he's right. There's no need for you to reveal your secret identity."
Spider-Man wriggled with indecision, swaying on his feet,
looking from Iron Man to Captain America.
I'll think about it, okay? He said finally, and he took a few running steps and dived off the building.
After a second, he swept back into view on the end of a web line, swinging down towards Manhattan.
That didn't go so well.
Steve shook his head and Tony snorted.
You kidding me? Johnny Storm says it took weeks to persuade Spider-Man to even say hi to him, and 5 minutes of you, and he's practically signed up.
You think?
I do. He's going to go for it.
Under Steve's direction, they flew to a small park, and Steve bought them Cokes, which had the added bonus of Tony getting to watch his hips wriggle as he dug small change out of his tight pants. Tony, no doubt, looked quite ridiculous with a straw poked in through the mouthpiece of his helmet, and Steve's amused look salved any guilt he might have had about leering at his friend's rear. They wandered around the path, heads together, Steve wearing his most earnest expression, in the hopes they wouldn't be interrupted.
So, said Steve, I guess you're bodyguarding Miss Stark now?
Yeah.
Tony fought only briefly with temptation.
So, you're taking her out to dinner, huh?
Yeah, Steve grinned. She seems really great.
I didn't think you dated much, he ventured,
and Steve tilted his head.
Oh no, I date all the time.
Tony stared at him. He didn't seem to be joking. Steve did have an excellent poker face, though.
You do?
He said cautiously, waiting for the punchline. But Steve just nodded. Oh, sure. I get lots of letters from women asking me out on dates. He paused. Some of them send pictures, he added thoughtfully, and the visible parts of his face pinked.
And you go?
Tony tried to reorder his thoughts into something that made sense. He didn't really bother Steve in the evenings, not wanting him to feel crowded. He'd vaguely supposed that Steve visited Fury and did S.H.I.E.L.D. things, or maybe spent his time touring the city and looking up old haunts. That's what he'd done when Tony first installed him in the mansion. But then, that had been months ago.
Well, sure, why not?
Well, I...
Tony hesitated. There was technically no reason Steve shouldn't go on dates with women who wrote in and asked. But really?
People don't usually just go on dates with strangers who write to them.
I thought nowadays people did that kind of thing. I mean, that if you just liked the look of someone, you could just go and talk to them. Steve slurped at his Coke, apparently unaware he was saying anything at all surprising.
Well, yeah.
And again, that was technically true. But things people did and things Captain America did were surely not necessarily interchangeable. Not that he'd thought about Steve's romantic life. Well, hardly at all. But if he had, he'd have thought Steve was more the type to meet women through rescuing them from danger, untying them from train tracks, perhaps. And most of them were very nice women and seemed to think it was all perfectly normal.
How many women are we talking here?
Tony said faintly.
I go on maybe 2 or 3 dates a week.
Just 1 date per woman?
That was a lot of women. He'd known Steve got a lot of fan mail, of course, sent by way of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he hadn't even realized he read it. He should have, of course. Steve would. He probably tried to answer it all. Much less went out on dates with women. The idea that luring Captain America into an ambush was as simple as sending a nice letter and a flattering mugshot.
He suppressed a snicker at the thought of Hydra sending love notes to Cap.
"I haven't really clicked with any of them," Steve said. "I just tell them that I'm very flattered and all, but I'm not in a position to commit to anything."
Right.
That was okay, actually. He could go on a date with Steve. Getting brushed off by him sounded a lot easier than brushing him off.
And what? You're hoping to click with Miss Stark?
She was nice, said Steve vaguely. Smart, funny, and really pretty. I mean, wow, those eyes. And I felt a real connection. It was like I'd known her for months.
Yeah, said Tony, and tried not to feel smug.
His eyes hadn't really changed much. Steve thought he had pretty eyes.
She's smart, all right.
Does she like pizza?
Oh, she loves pizza. She pretty much eats anything.
Great, Steve grinned at him, and then nodded towards the gate. I think our meeting just arrived. Sure enough, a woman in a purple bodysuit had just hurried through the gates, and Tony looked her over in approval. Trim, topped with swinging chestnut hair, and a mask with jaunty antennae. She had a wide smile on her face as she approached. Steve stepped forward and held out his hand, and she grabbed it in both of hers, eyes bright. Hi there. I should say I'm really excited, so excuse me if I say anything silly. She dropped her hand and turned to Tony, who clasped her hand carefully in his gauntlet.
Hi, giant girl.
It's not a great name, is it? She said with a giggle. I sort of came up with it on the spur of the moment. You can call me Jan if you like.
Nice to meet you, Jan, said Steve. My friends call me Cap. And of course, you've already met Iron Man.
I didn't thank you properly for catching me, said Tony. That could have been a nasty accident.
He gently took her arm and they began to wander again, Steve at her other side. Standing still was practically an invitation to autograph hunters.
Oh, yes. I mean, when I saw it on the news, there wasn't anyone there, so I thought I'd just run out and do what I could until the real heroes got there. And then you were there already, and I wondered if I should just go, but then he hit you with that ray.
Real heroes? Said Steve, and she nodded. Well, you know, I don't have training or anything. I just grow big. I can do tiny as well, but I don't really see the point. She waved a hand. I was just planning to step on them, or maybe lift people out of the way. It's hard, you know. I don't want to cause more trouble than I fix.
Do you want to be a hero? Steve said, and Jan gave him a puzzled look, wrinkling her nose in a way Tony judged as quite adorable.
I mean, we get called into these kinds of things.
I didn't mean to get in the way, she began, and Steve shook his head.
No, no, you were very helpful. What I'm saying is, we'd like to have you work with us, give you training. If you'd like to be, well, a real hero, we'd like you to be one. We're starting a team to coordinate responses to disasters and supervillains, and we'd like...
You want me to join?
Jan gasped and clasped her hands together, and Steve nodded.
Oh my God, yes! I mean... I'm never sure what to do. I don't want to just turn up and get in the way, but I could totally be useful.
You destroyed a robot army by pinching it, said Tony. Believe me, you could be useful.
So how does this work? Do I have to sign something? When do I start training? Is there a school?
She hooked her hand through Steve's arm and looked up at him hopefully, and he smiled and patted her hand. We're only just starting to recruit, he said. Stark Industries will be funding us. We'll be based out of the old Stark family home on...
Oh, I know it. I used to go there all the time.
Tony squinted at her profile, trying to see past the mask. Jan,
Jan. My dad does business with Stark Industries. Janet!
Van Dyne?
Tony said.
You're Janet Van Dyne?
Wow, she'd grown up. He vaguely recalled a small girl with pretty dresses, and her father wrapped around her little finger. She'd been doing humanitarian work in Africa, last he'd heard. Yeah. She tore her gaze away from Steve and beamed at him. That's how I got the powers, you know. They were invented by one of my dad's scientists, but he said they had too much potential for abuse, so he didn't want them marketed. But he's a real sweetheart, and when I said I was looking for a new way to help people, he gave me the suit. Wasn't that kind of him?
It was, said Tony.
If she smiled at the poor man like that, Tony couldn't blame him. He was half inclined to give her his jet boots already, and Steve was smiling foolishly at her. She'd be perfect for a super team. She and Steve could win every heart in the state between them. Steve started in with a lecture about truth, justice, and blah, 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 and Tony tuned him out and watched his lips move. Jan nodded along, seemingly entranced, whether by Steve or Steve's rhetoric, Tony couldn't say.
I have to head back, Tony said finally,
and Steve blinked and looked up at the sky.
Almost 5 o'clock.
It was impressive how long the man could hold forth for, given an appreciative audience. Yeah, I have a thing. Steve smiled down at Jan. It was great to meet you, Jan. We're so pleased to have you on the team. We'll arrange a meeting with Mr. Stark when he gets back. When do we start? She said breathlessly, and Steve glanced at Tony.
I think we'll need another few recruits before we start training, said Tony. Very soon, I hope.
Wonderful! You've got my number, right? Call if you need anything at all. He was able to sneak into his apartment without crossing paths with Pepper, and got into the shower to wash the smells of the armor away. He was rinsing the suds out of his long hair when it occurred to him he was, effectively, in the shower with a naked woman, and he should really be taking advantage of that. His breasts were really very nice, he decided, trying to look at them objectively. There were scars radiating out from the arc reactor, of course, but they were fine and pale, not really off-putting. He cupped one breast carefully. It was incredibly disconcerting to see the soft flesh dimple under his hand and feel the sensation tingle through him. Strange, unfamiliar nerve endings firing. He closed his eyes, and it was easier, not quite pretending they were someone else's, just detached a little, letting his fingers work, trying to analyze the sensations. The nipples were very sensitive, wonderfully so. The feeling was good enough to distract from the weirdness, and he was sliding his other hand down between his legs when he heard the door to his apartment slam.
Tony, you there? Called Rhodey.
In the shower, he yelled back, and for a moment was tempted to add, come join me, because he could totally use some help exploring this new body, and Rhodey was really a very attractive man. He restrained himself, though, as Rhodey was also a man of delicate sensibilities, and was glad he had when he heard the familiar sound of Pepper's heels. Personal exploration would have to wait, and he turned off the water and wrapped a towel round his waist. Then he rewrapped it above his breasts, which didn't work nearly as well. The bathroom door opened a crack, and Pepper's hand came through and hung a bag on the door handle. Investigation produced 3 more bras, all of which were torturous. He dropped them onto the laundry basket, along with a towel that refused to stay in place, and put his robe on and padded out into the bedroom. Rhodey was lying on his bed with a copy of the annual report. Pepper was laying an assortment of arcane objects out on the dresser.
Sit, she said briskly. I'll do your hair first.
How the hell, Tony?
Rhodey raised his voice over the roar of the hairdryer, and Tony narrowed his eyes at him in the mirror, which didn't intimidate him at all.
How do you accidentally agree to go on a date with Captain America?
It just happened, Tony shrugged, and tried to look nonchalant. I wasn't expecting it. Who asks random women from business meetings out on dates?
You do, said Pepper pointedly, and sprayed some kind of goo on his head and began brushing his hair far too briskly.
Well, sure, I do.
Ow, Pepper, ow!
But tell me you expect Captain America to run his romantic life like I do, and I'll call you a liar straight out.
You are, and I am never repeating this, a pretty hot woman.
Tony tipped his head, ignoring Pepper's tug on his hair, so he could bat his eyelashes at Rhodey in the mirror. Man sees a babe flirting with him, he asks her out. It's not rocket science.
I wasn't flirting, said Tony, and Pepper and Rhodey both snorted.
Quit that. It sounds like you're rooting for truffles.
Tony, you flirt with Steve constantly.
Pepper twists his hair up and begins sticking pins in it. It was nice to feel his neck bare again, without the constant tickle of the curls.
I do...
Shh! She poked a tube of something at his lips, and he shut up rather than get a mouthful of lipstick. He didn't flirt with Steve all the time, though. Just when he thought Steve wouldn't notice. He sat, docile, for dark smudges on his eyelids and powder on his face. And then Pepper handed him a pile of black fabric. Rhodey prudently buried his nose in the report, and Tony wriggled into a not-too-short skirt and a black silky drapey top that covered the arc reactor and exposed his shoulders. Add a pair of flat black shoes, and he looked... boring. Pretty, but dull. Low-key. Subtle. All the things Tony really wasn't.
I'm not trying to hide in the shadows here. Did they not have anything red?
He frowned at the mirror, at the woman who would have blended seamlessly into any premiere or reception. All right, he wasn't trying to seduce Steve or anything, but he wouldn't mind just a bit of attraction. Cleavage wasn't really an option with the arc reactor and all. But he had hoped to look... appealing. Did the other Stark dress like this? The idea that there was a version of Tony Stark who didn't like to stand out was disconcerting.
You look fine, said Pepper, sounding exasperated.
Didn't any of the bras fit?
No, they felt weird.
Tony did another turn and put a hand to his hair. And Pepper slapped his wrist.
Don't fiddle with it.
It was piled up with artful tendrils around his face, and Tony just knew it was going to fall down, and he wasn't going to be able to repair the damage. His experience in structural engineering didn't cover this.
I don't look like I've made an effort, he said plaintively, and Pepper scowled terribly.
I mean, you've done a good job. I look pretty, but...
Shh. Repeat after me. I am not really looking for anything serious right now.
I'm not really looking for anything serious right now, said Tony dutifully.
You're an amazing guy, but you've got so much happening right now.
You're an amazing guy, but you've got so much happening right now.
A girl said that to me last week, remarked Rhodey. So she really meant...
That she's a shape-change colleague, obviously, said Tony. Hush now.
So I think it's best we stay friends and colleagues.
I got it. Tony smiled. Pepper scowled.
Don't worry, it'll be fine. Steve was far too nice a guy to pressure anyone. Tony would go to dinner, be nice, and gently let him down if he tried for a goodnight kiss. Tony moaned as Steve's mouth moved over her throat and ran his hands over those broad shoulders again. He should stop this right now. Big warm hands were sneaking under the loose silk top, fingers tracing the line of his spine as Steve slowly eased him down onto his back on the couch. It had all been going entirely to plan. He'd managed to avoid telling too many lies. He'd driven Steve home to the mansion, and Steve had asked him in for coffee, and Tony had honestly planned to give him the just friends talk, and maybe give him one quick kiss. But the second he'd set down the cup and turned to Steve, he'd been kissed. "Steve," he said dizzily, and Steve murmured something against his shoulder, words inaudible, but the tone throaty. And Tony petted his hair, just as soft as it looked. Steve's mouth was on bare skin, and there were definitely straps on this top, but Steve had managed to maneuver them out of the way without ever stopping the insistent stroking of those wonderful hands over Tony's back. And Tony was starting to wish he'd worn a bra, because any minute now, Steve was going to... "Oh," he said, as Steve's hand cupped his breasts. Someone else touching them was much, much better than his own hands. None of the confusion of sensations messing with his head. "Yes, God, don't stop!" And Steve was way too good at this. The firm, slow touches teasing gasps out of him. And he felt cool air on his skin, and realized Steve was about to peel the top right off him. Tony's hands snapped down to grab it, hold it in place, and Steve lifted his head and looked at him. "Sorry, is this not?" He was frowning, and Tony couldn't really blame him. This was definitely a mixed signals kind of thing. "I," he started, then stopped. Steve gently eased his hands away and dropped a light kiss on his shoulder, faint disappointment vanishing under a reassuring smile. "We don't have to." Tony made a noise of exasperation. "I've got a peacemaker," he blurted out, "and it looks really odd. It's... Tony designed it. It's weird looking." Steve brightened. "It's all right," he said. I've seen some pretty outlandish stuff." Tony grabbed a handful of silk and yanked his top off, and Steve's eyes dropped to his breasts, and Tony could see his expression flicker between, "Hey, boobs," and, "What the hell is that?" He didn't comment on the arc reactor, just cupped Tony's breasts. Tony did have a fantastic rack, if he did say so himself. And then Steve shifted down, and that warm mouth. Tony arched back, grabbed handfuls of hair, and Steve laughed against his skin. "Not funny," Tony said, and Steve chuckled again. "You're so beautiful," he said in tones of bliss. And Tony blushed. It wasn't even really his body, but the appreciative look in Steve's eyes made him feel hot and ready, and there was a definite feel of urgency between his legs. He spread them invitingly, and Steve settled in between, rucking Tony's skirt up so their hips were flushed together. That was Steve's hard-on pressing into him, and Tony shouldn't be blushing for that. It wasn't as if he hadn't seen and touched plenty of them, but he felt oddly vulnerable, soft down there. Steve's mouth and hands were teasing at his nipples, sending heat echoing through his body, and he hooked a leg around Steve's and pulled. And instead of his body pushing back, it yielded, and Oh, he said, and Steve looked up at him, eyes dark and sleepy.
Good, he said, and pushed gently with his hips. And yes, that was touching him just right. He could feel Steve's heat and hardness even through the layers of fabric.
Tony wriggled, feeling the pressure in new places, new soft, slick places, and his breath caught at the thought of Steve touching him there. He tugged on Steve's hair, pulled him up for a kiss, and with Steve's mouth on his and Steve's body between his legs, he could almost pretend everything was normal, and this was his body, that Steve would be ready to stroke his cock and maybe let Tony slip his fingers inside him, take him. He shook away the thought and focused on the now. Steve's body pressed tight to him. This was enough, more than enough.
I want to go to bed.
Steve kissed him again, deep, and Tony kissed him back ardently, pushing up against him as invitingly as he could.
That's an invitation, right?
Steve said breathlessly, and Tony nodded. He grabbed for his top and dragged it over his head. He was not risking encountering Jarvis while half naked. And then Steve picked him up, and Tony didn't bother complaining, because Steve didn't even know it was him, and who really cared? He just wrapped his arms around Steve's neck and nuzzled kisses and bites into the warm skin as Steve bounced sure-footed up the stairs. Only the increasing speed of his heartbeat betraying the effect Tony was having on him. They tumbled onto the bed with a grace that had to be attributed to Steve's abilities, and he pinned Tony down for more kisses. Tony wriggled free long enough to peel his top back off, and Steve took that as encouragement to unzip his skirt. And then he was down to just his panties, and Steve sat back on his heels to take a good look. Tony felt weirdly self-conscious for a moment, showing off a body that wasn't his. But it was a pretty damn hot body, so he posed, arching his back and twisting his hips. Steve hooked his fingers into Tony's far too sensible black cotton panties and drew them down.
You're beautiful, he said again,
and Tony smiled at him, lowering his eyelashes.
Don't just look.
Steve grinned at him and pushed Tony's thighs apart and applied fingers and mouth, and Tony muffled his yell with his hand. It felt fantastic. Strange and different, but still amazing. Like the first time he'd taken it in the ass. All new sensations. Tony didn't bother trying to show any restraint, just rubbed himself against Steve, gasping instructions.
Down a bit. Harder. Not that hard. Yes, yes. Oh God, don't stop.
And coming was incredible. A glorious, intense feeling that curled up his spine and made his skin tingle. He stretched and made a noise that wasn't too far off of a purr. Steve's fingers were still inside him, and when Tony looked down, he was wearing a very smug smile. Tony frowned at him, and Steve smiled wider, and then his fingers turned, and Tony was very aware that this body did not need nearly the recovery time of his old one. And Steve's mouth was on him again.
Stop, he croaked finally.
And Steve looked up at him, eyes dazed and his mouth wet.
Come up here. I need...
Condoms, said Steve. And he staggered off the bed and clawed at the dresser drawer.
Take your damn clothes off, said Tony,
and Steve tossed the condoms on the bed and stripped. Naked Steve. Naked hard Steve. Breathing fast and wanting him. He could see his own wetness smeared over Steve's mouth and jaw. And that was... Steve leaned in to kiss him, and Tony lunged for him and dragged him back down.
"How? What would you like?" said Steve, rolling the condom over his cock, and Tony closed a hand over it.
"Oh, yes.
Like, this is fine." Tony's voice was unsteady, but Steve looked about as desperate as he felt, so he didn't care.
"I'd like it now, please."
And Steve laughed, shaky, and shifted over him, and it was a smooth, wonderful slide inside him, so very easy to take him all the way, and being filled like this made him shiver and gasp. It took him a moment to regain speech, Steve's mouth taking little nips along his jaw as he held still inside Tony's body.
Oh, God.
Steve was inside him.
God, he'd never thought he'd get this.
"Make me come," he managed to say. And Steve hooked Tony's thigh up, spread him wide and ground in, watching his face intently, adjusting the angle of their bodies until Tony moaned and shuddered. The slow rock of him, the grind of Steve's coarse curly hair right there. And he gave it up shamefully easily, shuddering and gasping and clenching down. Steve was looking at him with soft eyes, lips parted, and he smiled when Tony blinked hazily up at him.
"What now, sweetheart?" he said invitingly and rolled his hips, dragging a gasp from Tony. "You gonna come for me again?"
And that sent a flare of heat through Tony's body. He could go again. But he smiled and put his hand on Steve's neck and pulled him in for a kiss.
"I want you to,"
he breathed against Steve's lips and deliberately gripped with his body. And Steve's eyes shut and he bit his lip.
"Come on."
Steve didn't argue. He resettled Tony's legs around his waist and put his forearms down either side of Tony's head, pressed his cheek to Tony's, and began to thrust. Tony arched his back, rocking his hips up to meet him, ran his hands down Steve's back and shoulders and arms. Those wonderful arms, almost as big as Tony's new, slimmer thighs. He dug his nails in, and Steve groaned and writhed under his touch, working his cock inside Tony. And Tony moaned with pleasure and clung tighter. Steve's mouth on his, clumsy and ardent. And then Tony's body was rocking under the force of his thrusts. He put up his hand to brace himself against the headboard and pushed back. And Steve grunted and froze deep inside, muscles hard and tense. After a moment, he relaxed, slumped, and leaned his forehead against Tony's.
"Morgan," he murmured,
and Tony suppressed a flinch. The instinctive hurt at hearing Steve say a name that wasn't his was ridiculous. He tipped his head and kissed him instead, Steve's mouth clumsy and gentle. Steve was heavy. Tony wriggled, and Steve rolled off him. He got up to dispose of the condom, and then settled down and reached for Tony again. Tony was still breathing hard, and he felt alarmingly needy. Steve rolled onto his back, pulling Tony on top of him, pushing his muscular thigh between Tony's leg, making him whimper.
"Go on," murmured Steve. And he pressed up with his thigh and pinched Tony's nipples.
Tony groaned and arched, and then he braced himself against Steve's shoulders and rubbed himself off. He was loud this time, and Steve muttered encouragement as he squirmed and cried out, and finally collapsed onto Steve, who wrapped him in a tight hug.
"You're too good at that," he mumbled after a while. And Steve laughed.
How come?
Captain America shouldn't be so... Well, frankly, I'm amazed you even put out on the first date.
I love the future, said Steve solemnly. Some changes I don't like, but the sex is amazing. In the 40s, we could have dated for months and months before I saw you like this.
He hugged Tony closer, and Tony breathed in the smell of him, the feel of his skin all damp with sweat. It was nice to curl up against Steve's greater mass, but he couldn't help but think how much better he would have liked it in his own body. If Steve had held him down by the hips and gone down on his dick with such passionate enthusiasm. Still, this was something. It was definitely something good. He stroked his fingers down Steve's cheek, and Steve kissed his fingers. And that sweet, satiated smile was completely worth the hassle and the inconvenience, and almost puncturing his lung on a wire bit in a bra.
What time is it? Said Tony after a moment, and Steve frowned and glanced at the clock.
Almost midnight. You're not going, are you?
Tony looked away. I probably should. I'd really like it if you stayed.
Steve kissed Tony's neck, stroked his hair, and Tony had to admit to himself that not only was he not leaving, he'd dig his nails in and cling if an attempt was made to remove him.
You just want morning sex, he said lightly, and Steve grinned and kissed him again.
That too, he said. Don't you?
I suppose I can stay, Tony conceded, and Steve made a purring noise of satisfaction and nuzzled into his hair.
Are you free tomorrow evening? I'd love to take you out again.
He really, really shouldn't. Tony wrestled with his better nature and won. To hell with it. It wasn't like doing it again would make matters worse.
I have a dinner meeting, but I can meet you afterwards for a drink.
Steve looked ridiculously happy, and Tony just couldn't make himself feel bad about it.